I would like to do something a little different this morning, if I could. I would like to recognize all the mothers this morning. I'd like all the mothers to please stand up. And those who wanted to be a mother and could not be a mother, please stand up. I want all ladies to stand. All ladies. All ladies, please stand up. Even the young ones, please stand up. Because these are mothers to be as well, God willing. And those who wanted to have children and never had the opportunity to have them, we want to recognize them as well. Because, you know, God chooses different things for different people. And we have a wonderful God, a great God. And, you know, I want to just take a moment and I want to pray for each one of you. I'm not going to call you out by name because I'd have to stand up here and look at you individually. But I would just want to take a moment and pray for each one of you, because mothers are and ladies are, they're special people. They're special people. And they mean I remember my mother, and I remember the night that she died, or the day that she died, should I say. And if you're here and you still have a mother that's living, cherish that woman. Amen. Cherish that lady. You know, God didn't call every woman to be a Proverbs 31 lady. Everybody's different. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But I just want to say a prayer for each one of you ladies. And those that are mothers, those who didn't have the privilege of being a mother, and those who long to be a mother, I want to pray for you. So just, if you would, please just bow your heads. And men, if you'll be praying as well for these ladies, because they're precious. They're very precious. Father, we humbly bow our heads before your throne of grace this morning. And Father, for each of these ladies, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them in a tremendous way. Father, they need to have continued strength and wisdom and love in their role as a lady, as a mother-to-be, as I just lift them, each one of them, up before you, Father, and I ask that one day those that will become mothers, Lord, would be godly wives and godly biblical mothers, Father, based on the Word of God. And Father, for each lady that doesn't even have a child, Father, that you never blessed them with that privilege, that Father, you blessed them just to be alive. And Lord, we know that you love the ladies, you created them, because us men would be lonely without them. And our world is changing in such a bad way. Thank you for these ladies that are here today, Lord. Put your arms about them and keep them in your care. And may their children, the ones that have children, may their children look to them today and recognize the blessing that they have in a mother. And Lord, just keep them in your care, I pray, in Christ's holy name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. This morning I want to talk to you out of the book of Luke. I'm still talking to you, we're still going through the Bible about the Bible. So far we've talked about the Bible as a shield, as a sword, and today I want to talk to you about the Word of God as a seed. I want to talk to you today about a seed. And I'm going to tie a little bit of this tie the mothers into this, because I remember my mother. She was a godly lady. I'll not lie, there was times my mother got on my nerves, but I loved her with all my heart, but she was quite a lady. I mean, my dad was a pastor for many years and pastored churches, and it takes a special, special woman to stand behind a man who is going to be a pastor, I tell you that, or any kind of ministry, and it takes somebody very special to be able to do that. And so in the book of Luke chapter 8, if you would please, and when you find your place in Luke chapter 8, I want to read verses 4 through verse 11. So if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 11. The Bible says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, they might not see, and that hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." Father, thank you for your precious word. Open our understanding to it. Speak to our hearts, Father, individually and collectively as a church, Father. May it not return void, but may it accomplish that which is set forth to do. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. So this morning I want to consider the Word of God as a seed, something that needs to be planted. And, you know, I remember growing up, I remember my mother planting the seed in my heart many times. And she planted it to me in more than one way. She had a way of knowing things that I never knew that she knew. Mothers can read minds, believe it or not. And I don't know how they do that. I guess they call that women's intuition. But they are able to read your mind. And even as a husband, your wife can read your mind. I believe that with all my heart. But I'm probably wrong. But anyway, it feels that way. It really does. But God has blessed us tremendously with some godly women here at Abundant Life Baptist Church. I believe that with all my heart. We've got a ton of widows in our midst. And my heart breaks for each and every one of you. And it's a sad thing when someone loses a loved one. And I pray for you. I really do. But today, I want to remember some things about the Word of God when it comes to God's Word as a seed. And I'm sure each of you ladies, at one point or another, has shared the Word of God with someone. And if you haven't, I encourage you to do that. And I'm going to make it easy for you. We have John and Romans in the back of the church. And we've knocked out Pastor Dale's name off of them because, you know, I've told people that, you know, let's just leave the pastor's name off of them going forward, because you never know what God has in store. You know, God could call me home today. And if he does, you're stuck with another preacher's name all over your pamphlets, and I don't want to see that happen. And so just grab some of these, please. Get the seed out there. I told you guys last week when I was getting ready to go out of town, I left Monday morning about 5:30, I think it was, drove to Cleveland. Spent an entire week, I didn't spend the whole week in Cleveland. We spent a day and a half in Cleveland. We were in Cleveland, and then we were in Columbus and Dayton and then Cincinnati, and then I went back to Dayton, and then I went back to Miamisburg, and then back and forth there to a couple stores a couple of times this past week. But these things are planted from Cleveland all the way to Cincinnati. I ran out of them, and I took a bunch of them with me. But that's what God calls us to do, is to get the Word of God out there, to sow the seed. And ladies, I know it's hard for you at times. It's got to be. But it's okay to pick up a John and Romans. And these things are wonderful. You open it up to the first page right here. It's a marked edition. It says, see page 43. Go to page 43. It tells you to go to another page. And it takes you through the Romans road. So if you have a hard time being a witness or sowing the seed, we got a ton of these things. My wife spent some time this morning marking out some of the stuff on there. And I think Caitlin's got some stickers she was putting on some. So we want to get these out, folks. Get them out. Sow the seed. Sow the Word of God. And there's reasons we want to do that. So I want to consider today the Word of God as a seed. We'll take a look at three different compositions of the Word of God. Number one, the properties of the Word of God. Number two, we'll look at the power of the Word of God. And we want to look at the propagation of God's Word. And I want to look at the properties first. So the Bible itself is a very divine, it's the divine Word of God. Anybody that tells you that this Word of God is not inspired by God is nothing more than a liar. Amen. And it's the lie of the devil. And we don't need another translation, folks. You're going to hear me say that time and time again as I pastor this church, because we will not accept anything outside of the King James Version of the Bible, because that is God's holy word. It is the one that is the closest to the original translation of the Greek and Hebrew that there is. And when King James put those theologians together, he didn't put them together. He kept them separate. And they came up with the King James Version of the Bible because he wanted something that was as close as it could possibly be to the original Word of God. And this is the original Word of God. It was inspired by him, and we are going to stand on it at Abundant Life Baptist Church, plain and simple. But this the propagation of God's Word here, the properties, first of all, we'll talk about the properties of God's Word. The Bible is divine. There have been many great books written by men, folks. I'm telling you, there's a lot of good men out there that wrote a lot of good books. I've read a lot of them. I've read books by Charles Stanley. I've read books by Chuck Swindoll. I've read books by multiple men. But I've read nothing like the Word of God. And if you want the Word of God properly interpreted to you, don't pick up a man's book and read it. Just get your concordance and get a copy of the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible. You want to know what a word means? Look it up. There's Bible dictionaries you can look up. You can look them up. And anymore, everything's online. I mean, you can get whatever you want online. You don't even have to buy a book. They're free online. But God's Word, folks, is divine. But the Bible is the only... out of all the books that's been written in this world, the Bible is the only one that is inspired and is divine, and it's the only Word of God out there that's been inspired by God himself. 1 Peter 1:25 tells us, "But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you." That's the only one to preach out of, is God's holy Word, the King James Version of the Bible. That is it, folks. It's divine. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of who? Of God. God alone. Everything in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is inspired by God, and it is profitable for doctrine," which is simply teaching of the Word of God, "for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." And it's all done because God wanted us to have a piece of him in our life. And the Bible is being the Word of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Think about it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's talking about Jesus, folks. Jesus is the Word of God. And it's very clear that that's the truth in God's Word being inspired. It is because the Bible is the product of the Holy Spirit's work, that it can speak as an incorruptible seed, folks, and it's got to be planted. They can't hear without the Word of God. Somebody has got to take the Word of God out there and share it to people. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 through 32, it says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off?" In other words, God says, am I not a God that's everywhere? Am I not here? Am I not there? He's omnipresent, folks. God is everywhere. He says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him?" You cannot hide from God, and you cannot hide from God's holy Word, because it is everywhere. God's Word is eternal. It's omnipotent. It's omniscient. It's omnipresent. It's everywhere. He says, "Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed." Think about it for a moment. There's a lot of false teachers in the world today. A lot of fake pastors standing behind pulpits preaching something other than the Word of God. They want to tell everybody, oh, everything's just fine. Everything, God just loves everybody. God loves everything. Everything's just going to be fine. And look at the world we live in now. Look where it's turned to. Look where it's been. Folks, be proud of the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Pick up the Word of God. Share the Word of God. Plant the Word of God to somebody that needs to hear it. And he goes on, he says, "How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies?" And folks, it's been going on since the beginning of time. Lies have been spread since the beginning of time about the truth of God's Word. God's Word does not lie. He says, "Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart." See, what people do is they pick up the Word of God and they pick and choose what they want to believe in, what they look at as saying, well, you know, the Bible says God is love. Yes, God is love, but he has a love, folks, that is unconditional, but at the same time, that love is tough at times. He tells us there's things we've got to reprove. There's things we've got to rebuke. That's what he said there in 2 Timothy, that the word of God is to be used for rebuke as well. And when someone is outside of the will of God, they need to pick up the word of God. And it's going to step on your toes. It really is. And it needs to step on our toes. We need to have our toes stepped on once in a while from God's word. He says, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. They've given up God, the God of the Bible, for the things of this world. And that's the way the world's headed, folks. The world is headed away from God. The Bible talks about a falling away, and we are in that falling away now. I believe that with my whole heart, that we have turned our backs on God as a nation, and we're continuing to do that. And is it the end of times? Folks, it's been the end of times since the day that the disciples looked at Jesus ascending up into heaven, and the angels looked and said, go quickly, go. Quit standing. Why are you standing here looking up into heaven? Well, we're waiting on him to come back. They were looking for his return right then. The moment he went up, the disciples were sitting there looking up into heaven, thinking he was going to come back right then and set up his kingdom on this earth. But the two men standing behind them in white robes looked at him and said, no. Go, get to work. Folks, we've dropped the ball as a church. We're not planting the seed the way we're supposed to be. We talk about revival all the time, and we want to have revival. But folks, you don't have revival without the Word of God. You don't have the, you know, and you can't have revival unless people are come into the church after they're saved. Folks, I'm telling you, what is revival? We always talk about revival. Revival is not a soul winning conference. It's not. There's a difference between a soul winning conference and a revival. The word revive means to bring back to life. It means bring back to life. You want revival? Let's go out into the fields of our neighborhoods. Let's get out into the mission field out there. Let's take the John and Romans that are in the back, get them passed out, see people get saved. Then we'll have revival. I believe that with all my heart. We'll have revival in our churches the day that we start seeing people get saved outside of the church. You want revival? Bring them in. Bring them in. We're not going to have revival unless we spread the seed, God's holy word. But the Bible is dynamic, folks. Not only is the word of God divine, it's dynamic. The words and writings of such men in the word of God, folks, you'll never find anything sweeter than God's word. If you can just pick it up. When you're down and out, pick it up and read a psalm. Folks, you want to find comfort. It's dynamic. It's powerful. The words and writings of the Holy Spirit lead to regeneration. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is quick. It's fast. It's quick. It's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We went through that, I think, last Sunday night. Of the joints and the marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Every time you read the word of God, folks, it ought to convict you of one thing or another. It ought to open up, you ought to open up your heart to it. Let it dig in and pierce into your heart and change you and make you a better Christian. If you're not a Christian today, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You need to be saved. You can't understand the Word of God. The Bible's clear that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. You're wasting your time. Somebody's got to explain it to you. The Ethiopian that was on that Philip caught up with, He was reading out of the book of Isaiah, and Philip came up to him and said, do you know what you're reading? He said, well, I'm reading out of the book of Isaiah, but do you understand it? No, I don't understand it. And how can I except someone explain it to me? Folks, we got to understand the Word of God to be able to share it with other people, plain and simple. But the Bible, it's not only the dynamic Word of God, the divine Word of God, it is the durable Word of God. It's durable. Psalms 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, forever. Oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is durable. It has stood the test of time. The King James Version, folks, has stood the test of time since 1611. And it's still the only word of God, as far as I'm concerned, that is reliable, that is durable, that is divine, and it is dynamic. And we've got to stand firm on every one of these. But in the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, we find the account where King Jeroboam, who destroyed the manuscript of God's word. He picked it up and tried to destroy God's word. And when he tried to do that, he couldn't do it. The message did not get destroyed. They might be able to pick up a Bible itself and get rid of it, but the message is still there and it will never go away. God's word is a seed that has been planted down through the times and it will continue to be planted. And folks, carry one with you. Carry a Bible with you. Don't be ashamed to have a Bible in your hand. You need a new one, tell us. We'll buy a Bible for you if you need a new Bible. I got four of them laying on my desk right back there right now. We got four young ladies that are graduating this year going on to outside of high school, and the church bought them a Bible. Got their name engraved on it. Why? Because we want them to understand that the Word of God as a seed planted in their hearts will keep them from sin. But if they put down the Word of God and they don't stay in the Word of God, then they're going to jump into sin. God's Word will keep you from sin, and staying out of it will put you right back in it, folks. It's a seed. See, it's got to grow. It's got to be planted. It's got to grow. But number two, the power of God's Word. It has the power to bring life. Think about the many people that's been saved because of the Word of God down through the ages of time. God's Word is so strong and so powerful that it actually gives life into a dead soul. It can bring life into somebody who's living in sin. It can cause you to walk away from sin and have your eyes focused on the one, the only, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who the Bible is all about from in the beginning to the last amen. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about His life, and it's the power that brings life. Jesus interpreted the parable there that we just went through in Luke chapter 8 and verses 11 on. He goes ahead and he gives them a little explanation of what the Word of God is all about there, being a seed. He says, now the parable is this. Talking about the parable, it is the seed, in verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. Plain and simple. God's Word is a seed. It's a shield, it's a sword, it's a seed. And he goes on, he says, those by the wayside, where he was talking about how it was being planted, are they that hear, then cometh the devil comes along. As soon as you give the Word of God to somebody, the devil can come along to that person and taketh away the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The last thing that the devil wants to see us do is get the Word of God out there. And he will fight us tooth and nail. I've been saying since I've been the pastor here back in September, folks, be ready. It's coming. There's going to be a battle. And it's on us, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. The battle's here. We have a huge battle to fight. And the devil does not want us to get the Word of God out. That's why I encourage you to pick up as many of these as you possibly can and take them with you. Leave them in your car. Ladies, if you go to the grocery store, leave one laying right there in the grocery cart. Put them everywhere. What are they going to do, call and complain? Let them call. I'll talk to them. I'll just point blank ask them, you ever been saved? Did you read it? Did you find out what it was about? It's a lot better than that junk you're trying to feed your kids out there in the public school systems. I'd like to get them into the public school system is what I'd like to do. Matter of fact, I may just try to do that. Matter of fact, I think I will do that. But, you know, we got to look at God's Word for what it is. It's the Word of the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, almighty, powerful God of the universe, the Creator of all things. Treat it as such. Love it as such. Carry it as such. If you don't want to carry the Bible, then you better be memorizing it from Genesis to Revelation. And if you can do that, God bless you. There was one missionary that tried to do that one time. Ron Comfort. Some of you may have heard of Ron Comfort. As a matter of fact, I think my wife was saved under Ron Comfort's preaching. But Ron Comfort was losing his sight back when he was young after he became an evangelist. And he started memorizing the Bible, and he started in Genesis. And last I heard, he had memorized the whole Old Testament. The whole Old Testament. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about him for years, but I need to look him up. But I mean, he was a godly man, and boy, he can. When he preached the Word of God, you saw the fire from his eyes. But Jesus goes on here in verse 13. He says, "They on the rock are they which where the seed is planted on the rock. They that plant their seed on the rock, when they hear, receive the word with joy." And these have no root. It can't get down deep inside of it, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. Folks, there's a lot of people in this world that way. They've heard the Word of God, they've received it, and then they fall away because trials come their way. Well, if they stay in the Word of God, it will strengthen them. It will give them the strength that they need to be able to be strong enough when those trials come, because God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. He's not going to give us more than we can handle. And I'm telling you, sometimes it is tough.
I don't care how tough it gets. God's word will get you through it. But I'm telling you right now, as hard as things get out there in this world, if you can pick up the word of God and you know where to go in it, you can find the strength that you need to be able to get through whatever it is you're going through. And folks, one of the things that we need more than anything, not just to read the word of God, but we've got to bathe ourselves in prayer and bathe one another in prayer when we know there's difficult times in people's life. And when they pick up the word of God, we need to share that word of God with those who are hurting and those who seem to be helpless. But the power that is found in the word of God brings a great harvest. It produces fruit, folks. And we've got to be, you know, and there's a fruit inspector out there. We have a responsibility to inspect one another's fruit. If there's no fruit, then we need to ask people, you know, where's the fruit? You know, Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruits, by their works. That's how you know if somebody's a true Christian. They're going to be seen as a Christian. The world is going to know that you're a Christian. You're going to walk as a Christian. You're going to be proud of being a Christian. You're going to thank God for the precious word of God. You're going to use it to produce fruit. You're going to use it to bring a great harvest. Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 tells us, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Notice the word of the truth of the gospel. It does not lie. That's why we can pick it up and stand on it. But I'm telling you, sometimes, folks, life is hard. I'm not going to lie. Life's tough. And I'm thinking of Joe and Debbie, and my heart, it breaks when I think of what they're going through right now. But you know, Joe's strong. Joe's very strong. And I miss his knowledge. He's very knowledgeable. And I admire that about Joe. I'm sitting there yesterday talking to him in the room. He's in there at his house, and he's got this big bookshelf behind him, all kind of books. I mean, he's a reader. He's a reader. But he has gotten the knowledge from books and from the Word of God. Walked in the room, he's got a preacher on TV he's listening to. He's surrounding himself around godly stuff. Folks, we got to pray for them that Word of God would strengthen him. And that seed that is planted within him and Debbie would give them the strength to be able to get through this time in their life. And if you're not praying for them, shame on you! They're part of our family here. And we've got a responsibility to see that they're taken care of. Just every now and then pick up the phone and call Sister Debbie. Give her an encouraging word from God's Word. She got a card from Sister Linda. I know that. Touched her heart. Send her a card. Send them both a card. Call them and go see them. Don't go if you're sick. Don't go see them if you're sick. Don't carry nothing else in there. If you're not feeling good, you have a doubt, don't go see them. But folks, go see them. Let them know you love them. I know it's a private time in people's life. Sometimes people are very private about certain things. But folks, we're family. Joe sat there yesterday, and I thought he was going to cry on me when he was telling me how much he missed being in church. You know, I miss seeing him sit right there all the time. I miss seeing the man. I miss seeing Debbie sit back there with Carolyn and the other ladies. We've got a responsibility, folks, as a family, to take care of our family. So we got to sow God's word faithfully. I'm going to give you my points. We have to sow it faithfully. We have to sow it carefully. We have to sow it liberally. That's why when I made my last trip, that's my last business trip. I'm not going on no more, and they know that. I told them I'm not no more trips. I'm not traveling no more. Got bigger, better responsibilities here at the church. But I took as many of these as I could get in my backpack, and I spread them as far as I could from Cleveland down to Cincinnati. But we've got to sow the word of God with compassion. And when folks are hurting, the only thing you can give them comfort out of is God's holy word, because it helps them to grow. Don't think for one minute just because somebody's sick they don't need growth, because they do need growth. They don't just need physical nourishment, they need spiritual nourishment. They need to feed on the word of God. But we've got to sow it with compassion. Psalms 126, 5 and 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. When you sow the word of God in tears, when you give God's word to somebody that's hurting and you hurt with them, folks, it's okay to cry with somebody. Man, it's all right to cry once in a while. When God breaks your heart, cry. Don't be ashamed to cry. It's okay. That's my wife. I cry every now and then. When she's mad at me, she makes me cry. I'm just kidding. Sorry about that. But you know, that's the Bible's clear about that. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You want to find joy? Shed a tear once in a while when you think about somebody that you love that may wake up tomorrow in hell because you didn't sow the seed of the Word of God to that person. He goes on in verse 26 of 126. It says, he that soweth forth, goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Bringing in the sheaves, folks. Like the old song we sang here a couple Wednesdays ago, bringing in the sheaves. Go out with the Word of God and go out with tears and come back rejoicing because somebody got the Word of God. Get excited about it. Find excitement about it. So we got to sow carefully, faithfully, liberally, and compassionately. It's through the Word of God that the lost are saved, and it's through the Word of God that believers are strengthened. Without God's Word, we have nothing. We have nothing. That's why he says, hide it in your heart that you may not sin against him. Otherwise, you're going to be sinning. So this morning, if you're here without Christ, come and receive through the Word of God today. And if you're a Christian, and you've trusted Christ as your, and you've trusted the Word of God as your Savior, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with the Word of God? My wife sat back here today and got a bunch of these ready. I set them out through there. Make them disappear. Make them disappear. Carry some with you. Give them to somebody. Sow the seed of God's Word. It says very clearly, you are now entering the mission field when you walk through those double doors back here. You're all missionaries. We all are. Take the Word of God out there and share it with somebody. Do you love it? Do you love the Word of God? Do you care about it? Are you sowing it? And if so, where are you sowing? It doesn't matter where you put it on a rock or wherever you put it. Eventually, it's going to come around. God's Word does not return void. It does what it sets out to do, plain and simple. And it's going to. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your precious and holy Word. Lord, help us to be sowers of the seed. Help us to go forth weeping when we think of those who need to have the Word of God, who don't know Jesus, who need to be saved. Lord, help us to share as much as we possibly can with a lost and dying world. Father, there are folks out there who are on the brink of death right now without Jesus in their heart. Pray for that soul that is closest to hell right now, Father, that someone, somewhere, would receive an unction from the Holy Spirit to go and to share that gospel. The only truth that's left in this world, the Word of God, and that they would share it with that one soul, Father, that may be saved today. May we be a church, Father, who sows the seed all over where we possibly can. Help us to be good sowers, that we may reap, Father, and add to the kingdom of God. Bless this time of invitation, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.